Thank you, Mary. Here we are again. When I first presented some of this, it was to the RDs and to Jack Mayhall. And somehow I got onto your program. And what you're getting is essentially what I'll be giving in a more expanded form to the girls' workers next week. Christianity historically has not given women a particularly fair shake. And in recent years, it has been, I think, one of the causes that the women's lib movement has generated. They accuse Jesus Christ of Christianity, of not blowing it as far as women go. And I think the Navigators have their fair share in the accusation. But even today, we still hear around this organization, we shouldn't take time to train girls to their full capacity because they will probably get married. The implication being that a woman is not of value as a person to develop their gifts and abilities because they will be of little use after they are married. Now, as you know, you and I probably don't agree with that. If you do, I'll talk to you later. The second implication is that the body of Jesus Christ does not need the developed gifts and abilities of women, only men. And I don't see any sex in Ephesians 4 when it speaks of the members of the body contributing for the benefit of the whole. Now, having said all of this, which sounds fairly liberated, I must admit I am. Not because I have fought in the past, I've been angry in the past, but because one day it dawned on me that man does not liberate man or woman. Only Jesus Christ liberates. So I turned to the Lord, and I'm still in the process of being liberated for Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ. So from here on in, I will become very conservative. Yet we are facing a problem in the United States and the world today. Led by women and women's groups primarily, our Christian moral values are rapidly degenerating. The tragedy is that legislation is being introduced and passed that will guarantee the rights of the atheist, the immoral, the lesbian, the communist, and that will influence the philosophy of the next generation and the generations to come, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Liberals controlled by the enemy are organized, motivated, highly motivated, and unfortunately very effectively carrying out their objectives, while Christians are passively stringing daisy chains. We're almost unaware of the fact that there is an enemy, girls, and I was until recently. We lift our righteous skirts and are feeling very justified by non-involvement in the current controversies, which are rapidly changing our culture. Our attitude is generally, God will take care of me. I must be subject to the powers that be, forgetting that we are the powers that be. In the United States, we are the government. And if you think that God will not allow a nation to be destroyed, bring that up to some Russian Christians. The rights of the Christians in a nation. You bring that up to Russians and see if God does not allow it. All the while, we are losing our rights and singing pretty hymns in two-part harmony. Don't get the impression I don't like two- or three-part harmony. It's just that somehow I feel that we are not highly involved. And my intention today is to shock you. And I think I've got some data. Unless you are apprised of what's happening in the United States today, you prepare to be shocked. Women are in a revolution in the United States today and in the world, but we are the leaders. We are all aware of the impact that women are imposing on our culture and government. Last year, President Carter declared International Women's Year. Excuse me. And are you familiar that there were commissions in every state, the International Women's Year commissions? And they were supposed to vote delegates for the big event in Houston, which took place last November. Okay. Unfortunately, the liberal women got hold of the leadership by hook or by crook, using very many illegal means. And they got their delegates, 80% of the women that went to Houston as official delegates were liberal women. Now, the way I got into this was interesting. The Lord has an interesting way of getting your attention, doesn't he? I was in Washington, D.C. speaking to the girls in our ministry. And one of them, rather casually, said, "Say, there's going to be an ad hoc meeting on this hill at the state capitol, led by Jesse Helms, on the International Women's Year. The conservative women are coming from all over the United States to complain about the way the International Women's Year commissions were handled." So I thought, neat, I'll go and see what happened. I was sitting there listening to testimony after testimony, and I became extremely depressed, and I said, "My God, does anybody in the United States know what is happening? Do we Christians know what is happening?" For instance, in order to clear the hall in Hawaii of the conservative women, they put on a one-hour ballet of how two lesbians meet and then how they make love in a pay toilet. One woman, the woman that testified, said a woman in front of her threw up. I don't blame her. But these things are happening today, and California was gross. And I didn't bring a lot of that data, but I know a couple of you women here have it. Diane Sargent has it, and I don't know who else. But I brought back tons of testimonies, and then we reproduced them, and we got them out. And Jerry had a letter sent out to our staff asking for us to write to the president, to our senators, and oppose the conclusions of the Houston conference before it even took place, because we knew what the conclusions would be. And I'm going to be reading some of those to you a little bit later. But that's how I got into this. So I feel very much that God kind of pushed me in. And then a few other things have happened since. Now, the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment was losing momentum until this National Women's Conference met in Houston. And they united forces and they came up with a plan. How many of you know what the plan was? Ben, Mary?
It's economic threats.
Yes, economic threats through the use of boycotts. And what they have done and are doing is boycotting any state from having conventions that have not ratified the ERA. And there are 15 of them. And what they do is they focal in on one or two of these states. And they claim that in 1977, they kept from Atlanta, Chicago, and Miami $60 to $90 million. And the amount has gone up, causing the Chicago tourist industry, that feared it might be hurt by all of this, to formally urge the state legislature to ratify the ERA. Now, that is about as unfair an approach. And a couple of states now are countering with lawsuits against NOW, which is the most radical and the most influential organization in the Women's Lib movement. It's the National Organization of Women. Sounds very, very mild. But it's a very insidious group. Christianity Today posed the question on the boycott, what if this strategy works? If the ERA is passed because of lobbying by hotel people, then what? What will be next? And a New York lawyer said, there is no doubt that the type of boycott threat now used by some ERA supporters may be used to force the passage of amendments such as these, which would fundamentally alter the Constitution as we know it. And this legislation, with or without the ERA, is trying to be passed. They are trying to get in much of it, and we'll be going into that in a few minutes. So women power today is a force to be reckoned with. We have come, our day has come, ladies. My fear is that it will have passed and we will not have gotten involved. From the president to the Congress on down, men are afraid to openly oppose women. They are scared to death of these liberal women because they are the most vocal, they are the most malicious. And the only thing that's going to turn this thing is if conservative women give an equal threat. We don't have to be as obnoxious and as immoral, obviously, but we do need to speak out. Though these liberal women are in the minority, they are being heard, and they are representing us. Women will probably be the major force, in my thinking, that Satan will use to destroy home life and corrupt our nation morally. They are emptying our cradles and our kitchens and glutting the job market with women power that is affecting us economically. And I was thinking this rather humorously when I said it to the men. I said, I predict it won't be long before we have a woman in the White House. She will probably be a liberal, atheist, lesbian. And I said this to some Eagle Forum women that were at my home the other day, and they said, we already have one. And I said, who? Midge Constanza? Are you familiar with that name? She's an assistant to the president. She's the one that is headed up forming the committee of women to speak to the president on issues, and she has loaded it with gays. Incidentally, this Eagle Forum group, I called about a week and a half ago, and I said to them, I'm sorry to give you so little notice, but I'm speaking to the wives and the single women across the United States for the Navigators. Can you help me? 2 days later, they were in my house with stacks of literature. I have it for you. I won't hand it out yet because you'll get inundated with it. But those women are so sincere, and they have been so helpful. Two of them have written to me since I have been here to give me additional information for you. And these are the women that I want to make a suggestion a little bit later. But they are the ones that said we already have one in the White House. Of course, I was speaking of a woman president. But what's the difference? What is the difference? Now, on the other hand, this presents to us as Christian women an unprecedented opportunity to be involved with the ongoing of the gospel today. And this is a woman's fight, gals, because women are primarily interested in listening to women. I have never had more requests for tapes, to write books. Some group I've never even heard of in Texas wrote to me and said, can we videotape you? And I said, you know, they were all expenses paid. I said, well, I'll be living in Seattle. That's fine. Come spend a week with us. We'll tape you. Because we need women speaking to women. Fred Krebs, in our own tape department, said to me, Helene, if we could just get a woman on the basics. And I said, the basics? The men have been speaking on the basics since the Navigators existed. And he said, but we need a woman. The requests are coming in for a woman on tape. So if any of you get the burden, go on tape. If I have time someday, I may do it. But women are looking to other women for leadership. Armies are building on both sides. And ours better be bigger. That's all I can say. There are conservative women and liberal women. And as I tried to research this out, I also wrote to Washington, D.C., to the Republican Study Forum. Now, interestingly enough, the executive director, Dingham, I can't remember his first name, is a man that was helped by Jim Dagnan years ago. His secretary is one of our Nav girls in the apartment. So when I write, we're in the family, and without paying $100, I was able to get quite a bit of information for us. But the leaders of the liberal group, now you'll recognize these names. Who's Bella Abzug? She's defeated, for one thing. But who was she? Congresswoman from New York. And the chairperson for the Houston committee, Gloria Steinem. Do you know who she is? She's the editor of Ms. Magazine. And I'm going to be quoting Gloria in a few minutes. Anita Bryant. All right, we connect her with homosexuality and oranges, don't we? How about Phyllis Schlafly?
Conservative.
Okay. So you are. The only way to fight fire, girls, is with another fire. And Phyllis Schlafly is a graduate of Harvard. She has her law degree. And she puts out a monthly letter, and I have a copy of an application here that I want you all, if you have the conviction, to send $5 to her and get on her mailing list. And you will get a 4-page thing every month keeping you up to date on the ERA, on the tricks that they are pulling, and how to get involved and who to write to. And it's very, very helpful. It's the easiest form that I know. She is a Roman Catholic. The Eagle Forum is for God, country, and the family. So we are very comfortable with them. They include Mormons. They include Catholics. They include sincere women who care about the family. And we're going to get into why that's important in a few minutes. On the collegiate scene, the whole atmosphere in the college campus is steeped in the woman's lib philosophy today, and I'm sure I'm not saying something to most of you that most of you don't know, but the braless college chick believes in liberation for everyone, or from abortions to experimenting in homosexuality. We are increasingly involved in counseling girls who have been or are involved in perversion of one form or another. I feel personally, this is my opinion, that in the 60s, the experimentation was with drugs. In the 70s, it's with perversion. So the gospel presented today must be relevant to the issues and needs that women are expressing. What will it take to influence women for Jesus Christ? These liberal, distorted, angry women need Jesus Christ too. See, we can get up a real hate for these women, can't we? But they're going to go to hell, and they're going to bring an awful lot of women with them if we don't get involved. Christian and married women both need to be involved. You'll be seeing what they say about marriage in a few minutes. What's the navigator role? What's our part? I've seen some encouraging signs lately in the single girls' work, and I am encouraged by the tone of this conference as far as the women are concerned, you women. Embryonic though it may be. We had a missionary conference, a women's missionary conference, for the first time here in November. It was the same weekend as the International Women's Year at Houston. And we had, originally we just made up a few brochures and we sent them out. We thought we'd just stimulate a little interest in missions. Well, pretty soon we started getting applications from everywhere. Women were flying, girls were flying in from Washington, from Texas, from Kansas. And at one point, the gal that was in charge of registration said, Helene, it's 50-50, out of state and in state. And originally it was just going to be for the state of Colorado. And I got to thinking about this. What is causing this stir, this interest? And do you know what it was? The work of the Holy Spirit. Because he was so evident there. I wish that I could package him and bring him to every meeting, the way he was present at that event. And the theme of the event was, bring my daughters from the ends of the earth. We weren't covering up anything. It was a very clear call for women in missions. In recent years, I have prayed that the Lord would give laborers to the navigators, not just girls that are sitting around waiting for something out in the future, whether it be marriage or anything else, but women who are committed to the gospel. And since that weekend in November alone, this is just from Colorado, three potential contact girls committed themselves to further training, girls who were undecided before. One volunteered to take the IT slot in Japan and is on her way. She's living with me right now. Another woman's contact staff volunteered for the opening in France. And an unusual one, a woman from Australia who is living with me right now, going to seminary, wants to come to the United States and do her contact staff. She doesn't want to come. She's here. She wants to stay and do her contact staff in the United States because she sees that the climate here is ripe for the gospel. Doesn't it sound like Acts 2:17 and 18? This is a quote from Joel, the Old Testament. In the last days I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind. My sons and daughters shall prophesy. God's plan is to use both men and women. When these girls saw that there was an opportunity for them to have a part with the navigators in the Great Commission, they eagerly committed themselves. God appears to be marshaling his forces. And you know what Scotty said to me the other day? He said, because Christianity has put a lid on women, he said, perhaps God is using the women's lib movement to get women back into the mainstream of the gospel. Now that's exciting to me. On the overall girls' work in the United States, I thought you might like to have a little report before we go into something else. The United States girls' work in the Navigators needs to be ignited and fanned. We need committed, skilled women on campus and in our cities raising the banner for Jesus Christ, not holding hands in apartments. Now, apartments are fine, but let us not stay in our apartments. Let us get out with the gospel. Women who are models of how Jesus Christ loves and liberates women. And that's the challenge to our own personal walk with the Lord, isn't it? Okay, let me show you this chart. Now, as I said to the men, these are not percentages. These are actual figures. In 1973, we had, let's see, we've got to start down here. We had 5 women's reps. In 75, we had 12. In 76, 12. And I think this figure should probably be 11 or 12 in 77. Not much progress. 12 women's reps in the entire United States. If you have a woman's rep in your area, treat her carefully. We need her. The second figure is the overseas figure. Now, the third figure up here is women's contact staff. We start out with 26 in 73, went down to 19 in 75 and 6, and now we're back up to where we were five years ago. Not much progress, is there? Okay, now this is the distribution in the U.S. What we've got are the statistics, the current statistics for the new breakdown, which comes in June of the regions. So this is California, this is the Pacific region. This is the Western region. This is the Midwest, the Northwest, and you'll see, as I pointed out to the men, there is no one from Texas to the sea, not one woman's rep. And the total is 11 women's reps and 20 contact staff currently. Now, those figures will change in June, but just to give you an idea, we are not in any danger of taking over anything. And add to that figure that the navigators are on 147 campuses, and we have 38 women, a force of 38 women staff, between women's reps and contact staff, to cover 147 campuses, not to say anything of the 54 community ministries. Does that jar you a little, Jody? It did me. Yeah. I wasn't aware of it to this degree till I asked for the actual statistics from Jean Denmark. Now, the navigators have something to offer women. We have training, we have a vehicle, and we have a mission. And women are attracted to it. What we need is increased vision to get the word out that we need women, and we need women of a certain caliber. Not just the quiet little docile woman. She will not meet the demands of the woman's lib movement today. We need to be attracting girls who are kind of hard to handle, the kind like me. When I was first around the navigators, the girl that introduced me was told that we didn't want women like me around the navigators. And I can understand that. But the fact is, we're needed. Women who are educated, who are outspoken, who can counter not so much the issues. We need to counter the issues, but the heart need that the woman is expressing, who is trying to throw out all of the traditions. There's a reason, and it's selfish. It has to do with her own person. But we need to understand them. Okay, now there are two major ways in which we can get involved in the current issues. Number one, spreading the gospel, and it must be relevant to today's issues. When I speak on Jesus and women today, the original intent of that message 10 years ago was to encourage the second-rate feeling that I sensed around the navigator girls, that we were really equal in value to Jesus Christ. We were number one. Now I've changed the title to Jesus Liberating Women, because that's the term everybody understands. And when that's built on a college campus, the girls, the non-Christians, come to it. They want to hear about Jesus. What did he really think? So it's got to be relevant. And then the second is participation and a knowledge of the political and women's issues of today. Those are the two major ways. Ralph D. Winter wrote a booklet that Jack Mayhall handed me the other day because I wanted it. It's called The Grounds for a New Thrust in World Mission, and I'm going to read you a quote from it. This was sent to me, and I thought, perfect. Another obstacle to the highest achievement of a major thrust in missions is surely the continued decline of women's involvement. This is an authority on missions. Don't look now, but women in mission leadership are virtually gone from the picture compared to their active presence a half a century ago. We are on the decline. Amy Carmichael headed a mission, many women. I was talking to Dr. Dave Morkin for a few minutes yesterday, and he said the story of women is simply not told. I said, why don't you write a book, Dr. Morkin? And there is one book out, All Love's Excelling. I have a copy of it. It may not be possible to get, but it's story after story of women in missions. He says, I don't mean to ignore all the valiant missionary wives, but I am talking about a much more prominent level of initiative. Except for Beaver's book, All Love's Excelling, the rise of American women in missions beginning in the 1850s and ending in 1950, isn't that strange it ended, is virtually an untold story. Why should women's initiative, women's vitality, women's leadership so spectacular a half a century ago be virtually absent from missions today? Even pastors and missionaries' wives are less involved in the work. In 1910, there were 40 evangelical boards of missions operated totally by single women. Today, there is not one. Perhaps the only mission historians recall that single women were once actively successful in many situations. Wait a minute. Perhaps only the mission historians recall that single women were once actively successful in many situations where married people simply cannot do the job. I think I've made the accent on the wrong words, but nevertheless. But the phenomenon is not a case of single women alone. Protestant missions in recent years have made little or no effective use of single people in general, especially single men. And I argue with our men almost every time we get together that I think we navigators are a little bit unscriptural in our approach to this. Is it not curious that Roman Catholics think they can do almost entirely without married people, while Protestants think they can do almost entirely without single people? Interesting thought. In 3 out of 4 open doors in missions today, an unentangled single people could more readily than married people be the first and best to penetrate. And that's why a man like John Ridgway is in India. When he was first going over, the men said to him, don't you think you ought to be married? And they're really pushing him to get married. And then they discovered that it would be easier for a single man, so they said, maybe you should consider being single. Nothing biblical, just opinions. Okay. I'm glad some of the men want to hear this tape. Esther was a woman, as you well know in Scripture, who started out as an orphan, little orphan Esther, who became queen. Now, I don't need to explain to you the situation that happened there, but her ultimate commitment to the cultural situation that was happening was, and if I perish, I perish. And I have great admiration for Esther. She laid her very life on the line in order to represent her people. Now, she could have said, my calendar is too crowded. Well, what will my husband think of me? But she didn't. She got totally involved in the situation and saved the whole nation of Israel. Our nation is equally at stake today, our heritage. What about us? As Christian women committed to the Great Commission, are we aware of what is happening? And are we willing to get involved? One rather sharp girl on a college campus said to me recently, are all navigators uninformed about current events? And she was referring to the women's end of it. Women are in crisis in our nation and in the world. Are we willing to get involved with the gospel and stay the rapid decline that is occurring? We have a generation of angry women desperately needing liberation by Jesus Christ. And as I said before, the reason women livers are uniting is to meet their own personal needs. Now, they've cloaked it with cultural and social needs, but their own personal needs are underneath all that. They have a vehicle, the National Organization of Women, and other equally bad ones. They have Vision, the Equal Rights Amendment. They really don't need the Equal Rights Amendment. They're trying to push the legislation through without it. And they've got their visuals. That's my third V. Bella Abza, Gloria Steinem, and a multitude of others. Are we ready to reach out to these women? Do we understand the issues? Can we speak out on them? And do we have the courage to get involved? We need to be gracious but clear. I asked one woman's liver, a Christian girl, why are you so into this woman's lib thing? And she said, because I would rather be a man. She didn't say, because I'm concerned for the social issues of the day. Her gut level feeling was because she would prefer to be a man, because she thinks men have a better deal. Well, one thing that we need to be involved with, gals, is current events. And there are ways to get current events so that you're not snowed by the liberal viewpoint. So you have to know your organs. One is Christianity Today, very up on women's issues. Moody Monthly, Eternity. And this is all from a conservative evangelical viewpoint. U.S. News and World Report is more conservative than Time Magazine. So what you read in Time, you must balance out by what you see in U.S. News and World Report. The TV news is very liberal. Your TV reporters slant the news every time, so you need another source of input. I was going to give you a little test, but I don't know how much time we have. Now we don't have time for it. Well, how can married women be involved in the training and sending of laborers? And what we were talking about yesterday is the need for you to get involved, and you don't have to do it in a massive basis, but on a one or two person level, if that's your capacity, to do some basic follow-up. And you can do it with single women, and you can do it with married women, and you can lead them to Christ first. That would be better. Then you can help to encourage the single women staff, if you happen to be fortunate enough to have one. Befriend and encourage her, and appreciate her singleness. She is not an oddball. We are not oddballs. Some of us are called by God to be what we are, and we are thankful. And 100 years from now, will it really matter? And 1 Corinthians 7 and Matthew 19, 10 to 12 have some very interesting portions on this subject. Okay. I'm going to start reading to you from my voluminous findings here. Let me read off, first of all, what I think are the major ERA issues that will affect us. Military service for women as well as men. Yes. Some.
Okay, so
well, I'll let you know when I'm reading something to you if it's there
okay.
or not. Abortion. Pregnancy viewed as illness in a work situation. See, you're sick if you've got a, if you're having a baby now. Wages for housewives. When one woman's liver was asked, who's going to fund wages for housewives? All these big corporations. They have no plan. They're just going to put through legislation. It's crazy. Can you imagine if you get paid by the hour? Not a bad deal, but... The next one is daycare centers. Homosexual issues is the other major one. Okay. One of the Eagle Forum women that I saw wrote to me, and she said, I need to correct something I told you yesterday. It is possible that there are going to be two conferences, one on families in 1979. Now, these are going to be the same type of deal as the Woman's Year last year. So watch any news on the family conference and funding federally. The International Woman's Year was funded by your tax dollars and mine to the tune of $5 million. And the conclusions did not represent our thinking at all. So we're paying for it because these women's libbers get in there and get the money first and then control the whole thing. And what they're trying to do, these conservative women, is to get in on the ground floor this time and not allow a thing to go by them. They said, we are ready for them. And so we need to be part. Next year is the family.
Yes.
And one on children and youth in 1980 or 81. And they're not sure yet. This has not been announced.
My pastor's wife is leading one of these are the family at the end of the month.
Are these being
rallied?
By the U.S. government.
Are women's livers sponsoring these?
No, see, the women's livers don't sponsor anything. They didn't sponsor.
Now or
No, well, yes, I think behind them is the woman's lib, trying to get it into the public eye, and then they will manipulate it to their own purposes. That's what happened with the woman's conference.
But will they be called? Or?
I have a little more stuff on that from Washington, and I just have to work my way down the pile here. I had so much stuff on my dining room table that I said, Lord, I'm exhausted. I don't know what to pick of this. So I really trimmed it down. But I think I've got enough for you to go on. And she said, this is not definite there. So they still may have only one, so you'll just have to watch for whichever one it is. But she says, another tidbit. A conference coalition has been formally organized in Washington made up of 28 family-oriented voluntary organizations, among them the National Gay Task Force. See, they get on every committee to influence. More on this later. I have ended up national coordinator for watching this White House conference effort. I will keep you informed. Cindy Miller. She's the gal in Denver that I met with, one of them. And this is the ERA working? A pocketbook maneuver to win ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment is rolling up victory after victory, but it is not yet getting the results its backers want most. So that's from U.S. News and World Report. Yes. Yes. Now the time, are you familiar with that there is a time limit? Their 7 years is up, March of 79. And that's why we need to get mobilized and get our letters written and get the right legislators in this fall. They are trying to extend it. And I have a judiciary list down here, one for each of you, that will tell you who to write to on this issue. It is not even considered constitutional to extend, and I have a paper on that down there. But the point is, they are trying to get the Constitution changed so that they can get the extension on the ERA.
Do you have any idea how far they're going in success in that issue?
Well, it'll have to come before the Congress, and then they will have to decide if it's constitutional or not. But so you see, in addition to all this, four states, now becoming wiser to what the ERA really means, want to rescind. And if that is legal, then they will be seven states off, you see, instead of three.
So far, though, they are not allowing.
Well, one of these papers here has some authorities on, it's the ERA extension, it's just one sheet down here that you'll be getting, and it says that there are about four or five authorities on the bottom of the page listed, and there's only one that says you can't do it, I think. The others say it's legal to rescind, but it is not legal to extend, so we'll see. It all depends on the interpretation thereof, but I think if the legislators deciding these issues get a volume of mail, see, they figure, I think you mentioned, I can't think of your name, looking right at Georgia, that one letter counts for 600. So your letter is mighty powerful. Okay, let me read you some from the document, Declaration of Feminism. A married woman, the woman as domestic slave is the topic of this title. A married woman is expected to be a domestic slave of her husband. Often it is even stated in the marriage ceremony, the wife shall be subject to her husband. It is her duty to cook his meals, wash his clothes, clean his house, and raise his kids. It goes without saying that she receives no salary for this work, except what he graciously decides to give her. She is expected to be subservient to him, to obey his requests and orders. He gives her whatever liberties he chooses because he is king in his castle. Get the tone of that. Legalized abuse. Within the institution of marriage, a woman is legally required to perform sexually for her husband at his command. In addition, because men conceive of their wives as their property, they often use women as an outlet for physical aggression. This practice is still condoned by many today, and because marriage is still seen as a personal matter between husband and wife, women have little, if any, legal protection from the aggression of their husbands. Marriage is a means of dividing women, of isolating each of us from the other, and forcing us to deal with our problems alone. In addition, it separates us from the affairs of the world, those of men, and allows us no control over our destiny. You ready for the next? Male society has sold us on the idea of marriage. Though a constant stream of propaganda promoting myths about marriage, the male-female relationship, is idolized, we are promised security, love, and the mutual dependence of two persons on one another. We can put up with low-paying jobs because we're only waiting for that end of the rainbow marriage. Ever wonder what happened to all those fairy tale princes after the line in the story, and they lived happily ever after? In the past, we women have been afraid to admit that marriage wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, because it meant we had failed. Now we know it is the institution that has failed us, and we must work to destroy it. That is how serious this is. The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women. This is quoted from the document, Declaration of Feminism. So this is a statement of their... Well, it's from a publication called... it's by the feminists. The document, the Declaration of Feminism. And I think if you go to a public library, you could find it very easily. I didn't copy this particular paper, unfortunately, but I've got a summary of it in another one. Marriage has historically been the means of linking men with their offspring and assuring them a direct line of inheritance to their sons. Marriage has existed for the benefit of men and has been a legally sanctioned method of control over women. This control manifests itself in several ways, and they go on to the economy, the social life. There's a statement here. Well, somehow there's some parts of this missing. It is important for us to encourage women to leave their husbands and not to live individually with men. And Marina Downing has told me, she said, I have all these women wanting to leave their husbands, leaving them in Bible study fellowship. They're reading. On the family. Can you take a little more? In early civilization, the structure of living was an extended family in which related and non-related people lived in close proximity. The family was the center of life, and each member worked with others to grow food, create shelters, and make clothing for all. The earliest communities were matriarchies in which the institution of marriage was unknown, and the work of the mothers was the important task of the society. They really bring this up. And what they do is study primitive societies. They don't study the mainstream. The value of the society was the survival and comfort of its members. When the men took over, women and children became their property. Marriage was instituted to control women and to determine a child's paternity. And then they get into this term that's called the nuclear family. Did you know that you have a nuclear family? The extended family continued in patriarchal civilization, but when industrialization brought an end to the agricultural economy, families were forced to divide and migrate to cities to work in factories. This resulted in the development of the nuclear family consisting of mother, father, and children. Isn't that unusual? That's your nuclear family. The nuclear family has isolated people into small units, each forced to be economically self-sufficient. Each unit is responsible for purchasing commodities necessary to maintain itself. Each must work in isolation and cook and clean and wash. The development of the nuclear family has been particularly isolating to women. Let's see, I checked a couple of other things. The nuclear family is slowly disintegrating. No lie about that. Men leave because the pressure of supporting a family is too great. Children leave because parents demand too much of them and because they have a higher allegiance to their peers. The nuclear family must be replaced with a new form of family where individuals live and work together to help to meet the needs of all the people in the society. What does that sound like to you? Communism. New space must be found to house this family, and new collectivized work must prevent members from being exploited and isolated from each other. You ready for the children? Within the structure of the nuclear family, children are oppressed because they are defined as property. Children born without a father or outside the institution of marriage are labeled illegitimate. Parents see children as their foothold in the next generation. Did you know that was your motive? Women have been mainly responsible for the upbringing of children and have been supposed to find their own fulfillment in motherhood, of all things. This has placed a huge burden on the mother-child relationship and has limited children as well as mothers from realizing their full potential. At the same time, childhood has been separated from the rest of life as an institution with its own media, culture, and value system, and that's true. We are called a child-centered society, yet our children are separated from us in schools and haphazard child care institutions. And do you know what their solution is? Government-supported child care centers 24 hours a day. Yeah, well, the community takes care of it. See, there's no duplication of effort. And there's data on that. The IWI goals for children. Concerning preschool children, feminists are pushing strongly, this is an anti-feminist publication apparently, pushing strongly for the establishment of federal child care, child development centers. That's why that child year is so important that when they start funding that, because that's what they're going to push for. The following comes from To Form a More Perfect Union. I have a copy of that. They handed it out at IWI. It's the Woman's Lib Manifesto. The IWI Commission asserts that the federal government should assume the major role in directing and providing for universal voluntary child development programs. As a valuable service to parents, as essential to a child's best interest, and as society's obligation to avoid the cost of neglect. Doesn't sound so bad when you hear it, does it? And then it says here, so parents must continue to protest the general principle of federal involvement in child rearing. That's the thing that you've got to get after. Concerning older children and their education, the Reproductive Freedom Committee acknowledges that sexual patterns are changing, and that traditional nuclear family of mother, father, and children is no longer perceived by young people as the only acceptable model. Therefore, all programs must take into account changing sex roles and new lifestyles, and teachers must recognize and accept the many differences in contemporary family structures. Do you know what that means? Well, we'll tell you in a minute. The IWI Commission recommends that institution is responsible sexually. What? The IWI Commission recommends that instruction in responsible sexuality appropriate to grade level, including family life and parenthood, be offered at all levels of elementary and secondary education. You have got to get involved in what your children are learning and what they are hearing. In a Denver school, let's see, it was a high school. One of the fathers that works with a roommate of mine found some homosexual material in his son's room. he had been listening to a homosexual teacher for a month who walked down the halls holding hands with his lover. That's before the ERA even gets in. Such instruction should be integrated into existing curricula. Teachers must feel comfortable in the areas of family life, responsible parenthood, and sexuality, and must feel qualified to instruct their pupils. You won't even have a choice. Note their belief that all teachers should teach these subjects. At the same time, they are pushing hard for the passage, and you want to note this, of H.R. 299H, which would permit homosexuals not only to teach openly in public schools as role models for students, but would also prevent private schools from excluding homosexuals. Can you take any more? Do you have any questions so far?
How do you view the recent defeats of these homosexual
legislation?
The one in Wichita was defeated yesterday.
Hallelujah. Did you know Diane, your husband told me that in Wichita, they defeated a homosexual bill, and the three councilmen were thrown out of office. Now, that's the kind of action that it's going to take. That introduced the bill were thrown out of office. Now, that shows you that conservatives can have an impact. So take heart. I have here a list of the kinds of legislation that have been introduced in the Colorado legislature based on the women's lib issues. Some have passed and some have not. But it's the kind of thing that they promised would never happen that is exactly what they intended to have happen. Now, this is from this Republican study committee. You asked for a copy of an ad entitled, "Mommy, when I grow up, can I be a lesbian?" Here is the copy of the ad that ran in the Houston paper. Pretty little child asking the parent the question, "Can I be a lesbian?" If you think this idea is shocking, read what the IWY is proposing for your children. 2,000 women will meet in Houston this week. Of course, that was last, but that's been done. To vote on proposals that by law must be presented to the President and the Congress as a blueprint for future legislation. That's what happened. Here it is. For example, their proposals to legalize homosexuality would allow divorced homosexuals custody of children, thus creating homosexual role models for susceptible children. In addition, it would lead to the legalization of homosexual marriages, and I understand on the East Coast are already having these, and the adoption of children by these homosexual couples. I spared you bringing in my homosexual coloring book, What Lesbians Do. Those are being passed around on a junior high and a high school level, where they are the most vulnerable. That's the age, isn't it? When they're most attracted to one another. This proposal also calls for the passage of federal laws which would make it illegal to refuse to hire homosexuals to teach in our schools. See, it's coming from every angle that I've picked up literature from. Further, their proposals for passage of the ERA, federally funded abortion on demand, and their system of federal child care centers for all children would be equally destructive to the American family unit. How many of you have heard any of this before? Is it coming to you as being a total shock? I was hoping to just put it together so it would formulate a picture for you to relate to and become conversant on. Well, here it is if you want to see it. Now, incidentally, this thing ran, I'm sorry, I misled you. This thing ran by the Pro Family Rally. They put this thing, "Mommy, when I grow up, can I be a lesbian?" And it says, if you think this is idea shocking, and they tell you what the IWY plans to do. So they were doing it to jolt people into action. Now would you like to hear some of the leadership? These are quotes, and you're going to get a copy of this. What do leaders of the Women's Lib movement believe about God and religion? This is Betty Friedan, the founder of NOW. "We find insufficient evidence for belief in the existence of a supernatural. As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God, nature, not deity. We can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation are both illusory and harmful." And another thing that I spared you that they have published is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross, pregnant. It was so blasphemous, I thought, I cannot pollute these hallowed walls. Gloria Steinem, "By the year 2000, we will, I hope, raise our children to believe in human potential, not God." The document, Declaration of Feminism. Here it is again. "All of history must be rewritten in terms of the oppression of women. We must go back to ancient female religions like witchcraft." And there's a prayer that is so blasphemous, I don't want to read it. Here's another Gloria Steinem. "For the sake of those who wish to live in equal partnership, we have to abolish and reform the institution of legal marriage." Here's another one. This is by Dr. Mary Jo Bain, Associate Director of Wesley College Center for Research on Women, and it was quoted by AP in Tulsa, Sunday World. "We really don't know how to raise children. If we want to talk about equality of opportunity for children, then the fact that children are raised in families means there's no equality. It's a dilemma. In order to raise children with equality, we must take them away from families and communally raise them." If divorce makes for better family life, divorce improves the quality of marriage. If you understand that statement. About women and the sexual revolution. In the area of sexuality, we believe that intolerant attitudes often cultivated by orthodox religions and puritanical cultures unduly repress sexual conduct. Neither do we wish to prohibit by law or social sanction sexual behavior between consenting adults. Individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire. Human Manifesto number 2. This is from Now. Now endorses the principle that it is a basic right of every woman to control her reproductive life and therefore supports the furthering of the sexual revolution of our century by pressing for widespread sex education, provision of birth control information and contraceptives, and the repeal of all laws restricting abortion, conception, contraception, and sexual activity between consenting adults. You want another one? You don't want another one, but you're going to get anyway. This is from that Declaration of Feminism. Liberated sexuality is freedom from oppressive sexual stereotyping. The freedom to choose heterosexuality, homosexuality, bisexuality, or asexuality, but not to be bound by them. One more. But the new liberated woman of 1970 is not the old battle axe. Well-educated, privileged, she is often attractive and almost always young. She is, in addition, idealistic, intense, and she is furious. She has nothing against premarital sex and has usually tried it. It's just that she finds it disappointing at best, not worth the trouble. It's easier to masturbate. She wants to reform sex practices in line with sex experiments. Bad language is a way of proving you're not a lady, so liberating women may toss off the four-letter words which from men extract a sexual thrill. We must destroy love. Here's another one. Love promotes vulnerability, dependence, positiveness, susceptibility to pain, and prevents the full development of woman's human potential by directing all her energies outward in the interest of others. It is for this reason that one woman alone will not be fully liberated until all women are liberated. Relationships. You won't get a copy of this. A summary statement. We affirm each woman's freedom as a thinking human being to make her own decisions concerning how and to whom she wishes to relate and the manner in which she wishes to live. A sense of community needs to be expressed in many ways. A, woman alone. I'm glad I was classified here. B, woman as friends. Women can be sharing, giving, taking, supporting one another. We need to strengthen the points where women are able to share their struggles and nurture one another. Well, women and men. We recognize the importance of female-male relationships. Notice the female is first. And also recognize the sex class structure in which these relationships take place. We strongly support efforts by both women and men to overcome limited definitions of who they can be and work toward relationships based on true equality of personhood. D. Women and women. Lesbians are women who have affectional and sexual relationships with other women. We affirm the beauty of such relationships and the right of lesbians to full acceptance by others and full equality before the law. Lesbian feminism. Lesbian feminism is not just a matter of sexual preference, but a political choice. Older women, they've even got that in there. Women, families, and children. We recognize the validity and necessity of the family structure and of relationships of women to children and the family as a viable lifestyle for a majority of people, and view this option as equal to all others. And you notice a man or a husband or a father is not mentioned in that one at all. From the Republican Study Committee, this is a list of representatives. The following members of Congress are currently co-sponsors of various bills which were introduced by the Honorable Edward Couch of New York. I have enclosed a summary of the bill for your information. Now, these are the men, and you can look on this list. I'll have it down here. And if you find one of your own men on it, that means he is for the following. This is for your information, as of May 3, 1978, there are 64 bills pending before the Congress dealing with homosexual legislation. Of those bills, 9 were bills like the one Mr. Koch introduced on affectional or sexual preference. He introduced 7 of the 9 bills. 4 bills deal with TV and radio programming, and that is something I'm not going to particularly go into. But if you want to affect the changes on TV, call the local station when you don't like what you see. Call their advertisers and tell them you will not buy the product, or write to the advertiser, tell them you won't buy the product if they continue to sponsor that program. And then write to the national ABC, NBC. Yes?
Just on that point, the LA Times would keep calling us and asking if we would want to subscribe. And every time they would call, we would say, well, we don't like the ads. It was the adult theaters and everything. And so that was the main reason we didn't want it to come to home. Now they advertise, but they do not accept any of these ads.
See, we can have an effect. TV is in trouble. People are not watching TV as much as they used to. And producers are trying, yeah, praise God, but producers are trying to find out why. And I had somebody call me on a survey. And she said, what do you think of Wonder Woman? I said, well, frankly, if you want to know what I think of Wonder Woman, don't you think she's a little provocative for 6 o'clock television for children? And I finally said, listen, I want you to know where I'm coming from. I am a born-again Christian. And I said, I just object to the violence and the sex that is pitched constantly on TV. She said, I'll make a notation of that. I understand that. She said, and I appreciate it. We can't have a voice. I don't know how many that will represent to the TV station, but when given a chance, speak up. 6 deal with rape legislation. 45 bills deal with child pornography abuse. You may recall a few months back when a similar bill was up for a vote in the Senate, and only one senator voted for child porno. He was Senator Aberesk of South Dakota. Hope this is helpful. Can you imagine he voted for child? Now, see, I can't tell if that's for or against. 45 bills deal with child pornography abuse. See, I don't see that as bad if it's against it. It's a good one. So only one senator voted for it, for the bill?
No, that must have been against it.
Yeah, well, if only one... See, I can't tell from what she sent me if that's a good guy or a bad guy. But the official title of this particular bill is for affectional or sexual preference and for other purposes. See, that's why I say they don't need the ERA. They're already trying to get their legislation through. If they get the ERA, we are sunk. Because, see, they'll be forever interpreting. Now, this is the judiciary related to, these are the men on the committee related to interpreting the law and putting in legislation related to these things. And you can write to them. I have a copy of this for all of you. They list the states they're from. So if you pick your man or men, you can have a part in influencing. Oh. Do you want to ask questions or what would you like to? I can continue reading. Okay, one thing I want to explain to you. Women not fit for combat. On the back page, somehow the printers put a column that is for another article. So this is the first article. And this column is the last of this article, which is from eternity. So can you remember that when you get the two of them? I have here turnover for the rest of article on shall we revise the homosexual ethic? And this is written by Scanzoni and Mollenkott, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's called Is the Homosexual My Neighbor? And what they're saying is let's reinterpret scripture and condone it as a cultural thing. Christian book. But we need to understand the issues. And what this article is a critique by Don Williams of the book, and it gives you the biblical basis to critique it. That's going to be very helpful because I'm sure that's going to come up in conversations with Christians.
Do you know anything about All We're Meant to Be by Scanzoni and the others?
Same old, same old.
Same stuff.
Yep.
Is there anything we can do about the conference that they're having out there?
Well, you know, Jack asked me if I wanted to go to that, and my concern was, I don't understand what the purpose of it is. You know, they've listed their workshops, But I can't tell if it's going to be two views of this or if we're going to have to hang in with the liberal evangelical view. Pardon me?
Sounds like mostly liberal people.
Well, although in a varsity's there, quite a number of people. Here's the dilemma. You know, I left it upstairs thinking I won't bring this up. The dilemma is there is not one evangelical organization I can recommend to you. Because the one that is called Evangelical Women's Caucus is primarily this liberal group of women who are interpreting scriptures in a way I don't agree. So you see, Romans 1 is written to the homosexual who is an idol worshiper. And culturally, you see, our culture has changed. So now homosexuality, we've got to be kinder to them and allow into our fellowship homosexuals. Any questions on that?
What is the conference you're talking about?
What is it called?
Women's Ministries.
Women's Ministries Conference. Uh-huh. And it's going on the week of June 14, because I knew I couldn't go. I'm committed to something else that week. I have the directory. If you don't know the names of your senators and House of Representatives to whom you may write, the address is up here, and their names. And all you have to do is jot it down. I got that in the mail yesterday from one of the other Eagle Forum women. I've got the address for the Eagle Forum. I've got a thing for you to fill out if you'd like to. And then find out who, when you write to the national, if you don't know if there's a local one, ask them if there's someone in your city or your state. Because you can get a national publication, you can get a local one, and that will keep you up on your local legislature, who to vote for. And they say, cross Democrat and Republican lines, vote for the man who is conservative, the man who is moral. And they're very concerned to get the right people in, and they are in the know. The woman up there that's a lobbyist, she talked way over my head on most issues, and at 50 miles an hour. And she's the one that sent this to me so that you would have at your fingertips the names and addresses of the men in office.
Would they appreciate hearing from women, do you think, or from men about
women? Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a women's fight. It doesn't hurt for both of you to write. But women are who they're polling. See, these liberal women are saying, this is what America wants. This is what American women want. And so an American woman writing and saying, this is not what I want. And I wrote, and I even threatened the president and the senators that I wrote to, that if they voted for the ERA, I would not vote for them. Or anybody that was for the legalization of homosexual, whatever I put in there. Threaten them with your vote, because that's powerful.
That's what I was going to ask you. Some Christians are for the ERA.
Yes, because they are uninformed. That's why I want you to have the literature in hand. So when you hear of a Christian who says, I'm for the Equal Rights Amendment. You know, the reason that thing went through with 38 states is because nobody understood the implications of it. And I don't even know that originally it was going to be that bad, but it was the liberal women that took hold of this thing. And they are godless women, very communist in objectives. You know, they said to be careful of name-calling, so I'm just calling them. I think they're kind of...
They are the minority.
They are the minority.
That's the thing. They're minority.
But they have scared. You see, women are in the majority in the United States. There are more women than men. And of course, when you get them organized, see, they've polarized. The conservatives are behind Schlafly, Anita Bryant. The liberals band behind Bella Abzug, Steinem, and that crowd. So whichever voice is the loudest, the men are going to listen to. And what we need to do is band together. And even if they're not evangelicals, who cares? They're women, and it's a tremendous opportunity when you get involved to talk about Jesus Christ. When those three women were sitting at my table, I said, you know, the Bible has something to say about this. And I said, would you like me to read to you from the Bible? They said, sure. So I ran down and got my Bible, and I read to them from 1 Peter, I think it's, is it 2 Peter 2 that talks about the waterless wells and the destruction and promising liberty and actually giving destruction. I came up here without a Bible. They read that, and they said, we're going to quote that in our next Eagle. So why not? See, you can influence them, and we can lead some of them to Christ. And they're so eager to work with us. They know who the navigators are. At least in Colorado, they do. So,
I think one thing you can do is
very responsive to parents who come and you know, we object to the kind of sex education they're presenting. Mm-hmm. Or I went to a school where a teacher was making fun of the Bible. Two other mothers and myself, and the principal responded, and the teacher apologized to the children the next day. So
there you go.
We need to be looking.
It's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease, right? And here's some suggestions what you can do. Do I see your pens coming up? Number one, pray for your nation. Pray for our nation. You know what I've said to the Lord? You told Noah that if, you know, there were 10 godly people, if our nation goes down, what hope is there for the world as far as evangelical Christianity goes if the communists take over, you see? And who would want to listen to a nation that's propagating what we are if the liberals take over, you see? To get involved in your, on a precinct level, and if you want some information on that, talk to Georgia. She's already into this. Know your candidates' platforms. Cross party lines to find moral candidates. Okay?
Number three again.
Know your candidates' platforms. Read that literature. Now that you have been instructed, now and after you read this material, you'll know what to look for. I am so much more tuned into the news today than I've ever been. And I pick up the tone of what's happening because I've just been aware. And see, my desire was to get all of us involved. Does this shock you, Diane, coming from Mexico? I'm glad. Yeah. Write to your congresspersons, I put down, because some of you may. I'm going to a state that has a woman governor, and she was on the front cover of Time magazine leading the IWI crowd. So we're going to have a time in Seattle. Write against extending the time for the ERA, and there's a paper on that in this pile. Read both sides of the issues. Do you know what Cindy Miller says? She's got another name. She's used either her maiden name or something. And she gives them a P.O. box, and the gays think she's gay. And they send her all this literature so she knows what they're doing. Now, you don't really have to go that far to find out what they're doing.
Well, I have a suggestion. I've read things by Stein, and I'm able to go only so far, and it is so putrid, I can't continue. Now, what do you recommend, you know, as a balance here?
Well, I don't think we have to read everything. Uh-huh. What I don't even want to support him, so I went to the public library when I wanted to get stuff, and I paid for the Xerox, which went to the library rather than the Steinem. Mm-hmm. But if you want to have the philosophy of the Ms. magazine, the best of Ms. is in the Ms. Reader, and it's a book for about $2. It's a paperback. If you read a couple of those essays, it's very fast reading. You will hear what I read to you today, only in different form. Ms. Magazine's book that has been published, and they consider it to be the best of Ms., is called The Ms. Reader. And I have a copy of it. Just take it out of the library and read it if you want to. But it's good. I don't use it that often, but my roommate that's going to seminary wanted to write a paper on women's issues. And, man, I just pulled out my file, gave her a pile of books. All Were Meant to Be was one of them. And so she could get a balanced view from the woman's lib and from the conservative. Now, I want to give you the names of... Wait, I'm not through yet. Read both sides of the issue. Read your children's school books. They wanted to have a homosexual speak in Denver? Oh, it was a Ku Klux Klanman, and there's a big uproar at the school. So they finally said only after school, because they figured most of the kids wouldn't go if it was after school. If it's during school, if they have to hear a homosexual speaker, you stick very close to what is happening in the schools. That's all I can say. Because you'll notice one of their objectives is to change the whole education system, and they don't have to change it much. Yes?
If you can't accept good to read the teacher's manual before she hits, you know, before the fall comes, because in that it gives the directions and what questions to ask on the literature, know, it's sort of like his truth relative, and it gives the guide as to how to deal with the children. And it's more revealing, actually, than the children's books.
See, we can withdraw and say, well, I'm going to take my children out of public schools. Well, if we let the public schools go, how are your kids going to be protected from anything? That's their culture. Your grandchildren don't stand a chance. Okay, here's another organization to write to. And I don't know what it costs to get their publication, but it's Heritage Foundation, 513 C Street, Northeast, N period, E period, Washington, D.C., 20002. 20002.
What's the street?
C Street. C is in cat. Heritage Foundation, 513 C Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C.
Conservative?
Yes.
What do we do?
Yeah, just write to them and say, put me on your mailing list. And if there's a private charge, they'll let you know. Another one, if you want to spend a little money, is Human Events. And I want to write and get on that one myself. Now, here's some books to read, a couple of books. Women,
we... Human
Events? I have it upstairs, I think. I can get it for you here because they get it at the office. They have sent me copies of articles from it. Win France has. Yeah, I'll try to get it. We're not going to go into this afternoon. We're going to clean up our act. Okay. Here's two books to read. Women, We Can Do It by Elaine Conlon. She is John Conlon's wife, an evangelical Christian. Fantastic book.
A couple dedicated yes. evangelical Christians. So concerned for family life.
Yeah. These are two very good books.
Her name again?
What's the book?
Elaine Conlon, Conlan, Women, We Can Do It. And the second one is The Power of the Positive Woman by Phyllis Schlafly. Now, she's written a number of books. If you send, after you send in your initial $5, she will send you a form, and for a $15 donation, she'll send you a free book. They have expended all their funds on this last fight that they had, and they are very needy for money, and I feel this is something we need to support. I've got all the information for you. I've got a leaf. It looks like this, the Eagle Forum. And it gives what they believe and why. And they came into being to fight the ERA in 1975. So she will send you
a publication. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah. This is what you'll get.
Oh, you'll love this one that I have for you. It's pictures taken at the Houston IWY conference. But you get that. It's only 4 pages. This one is all full of pictures. Jesus was a feminist, this one says. Lesbians, these are pictures. Lesbians for wages, for housework. We are everywhere. If men got pregnant, abortion would be sacred. Lesbian rights, the whole thing. And then there's, oh, and it shows a cartoon. Well, you can read. I don't need to read it to you.
Kelly, yes. On this financially supporting, we really have to because it takes a lot of money. We get all kinds of work supporting a lot of things. And it's just as much an investment in the gospel, you might say.
You bet.
Because it does take money. And in some of our literature from our Senator Briggs and Conlon was the Gays have a lot of wealthy people behind them. So they have the money to do and promote these things, and so we've got to get behind them.
That's excellent, Georgia.
With our money. So when they come and ask, how
you
pray about it, and just consider something. You know,
well, do you know, to back that up, the Women's Libbers got a lot of movie stars together in a fundraising event recently. And so they are going to start funding them to push for the ERA. And if we don't do something, you see, your artists are always the initiators in this homosexual thing. Who said that? Your professional arts, yes.
I did not understand what the Heritage Foundation is.
It's just another organ that speaks not only to women's issues, but to political things that are happening in the United States. I had a copy of it, and I didn't bring it. Pardon me?
By writing, they will put us on their mailing list. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of these places may charge you a few dollars. The Communist Aims Achieved Bit by Bit. Have any of you ever seen this? The 45 objectives of the Communists. Here's 25. Let me read you a couple of them. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. 18 says, gain control of all student newspapers. 20, infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. Most of our editorials most of our publications are very left. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And this was written in 1958. It's quoted in a book written in 1963. Are they accomplishing their goals? Okay. Here... Now, anything you see written by or suggested by NOW, which is National Organization of Women, that's their major organ. Ms. Magazine, subscribe to the National Eagle Forum and ask the national office if there is a state chapter. After these women were through talking to me last week, they said, I asked them if there was a forum in Seattle, and they said, why don't you head it up? So if I get mad at the navigators, I can always do that. Well, it doesn't seem to be the sort of thing that we would end in prayer.